Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near the Georgia-Florida line. Hope everybody's doing well. Let's continue to pray for all the people along the Florida coast, the Georgia coast, the South Carolina coast, and the North Carolina coast that experienced the devastation and the ravage of Hurricane Dorian. And certainly let's continue to pray for all of our friends in Christ down at in the Bahamas. You had total islands just gone, just removed from the face of the earth. I mean, soil, whole islands rearranged, and over 30,000 homes destroyed. And it's a very terrible scene down there right now. I mean, can you imagine a Category 5-4 hurricane over your house, spinning out for 24 to 36 hours? I mean, they were experiencing winds from 180 miles per hour sustained, and then it went down to about 150 miles per hour sustained. But nothing can manage to uphold itself with sustained wind like that. That's like standing in an E4 tornado, except this E4 tornado was about 50 miles wide. Like, that is unbelievable. But people down there endured it. Unfortunately, we already getting early reports of children that lost their lives. Some places were totally underwater. I mean, the height of the islands of the Bahamas down there, the highest point is only 12 feet from sea level. And you had storm surge that was 24 to 30 feet above sea level. So, you know, you had many islands totally submerged. And if the people had not been in their homes upstairs or at some upper level of a building, they were in water. So it's just a very tragic situation. Anything we can do to help, we certainly need to make sure that we do that. We certainly want to continue praying. But this will be this hurricane, I think, will ultimately go down as one of those historical events that will live on in our history, and one that we will never be able to forget. And to think about how fortunate we were here in the United States. I mean, the hurricane came right up to Florida when it was at its highest peak of 185 miles per hour wind, and it came to a complete stop. I mean, it just stopped literally off the coast. It just literally stopped. A 200 mile wide storm that was moving at one point up to 15 miles per hour just stopped. Like, unbelievable. Like, it would be hard to believe if you read that in a book or something, or if you saw it on a movie. But this happened, and it shows you how unpredictable weather can be. And keep in mind, we are still in the peak of the hurricane season. We're going to be in the peak of the hurricane season all the way to the end of September. So we have to be extremely careful and make sure we're watching the tropics, make sure we're watching the Gulf, because we have historical examples of hurricanes whipping up in the Gulf of Mexico and coming up through the Florida Panhandle, or coming up through by Mobile. And that could cause some effects right here in this area, right here in the listening area. So let's make sure that we're doing that. Got to give a special shout out to my friend down there in Chattahoochee County, Commissioner Damon Hoyt. How you doing, my friend? I hope things are well. We've been having some great conversations. I'm proud of the work that you're doing down there, brother. You're doing some amazing things. You know, keep up the fight and keep the pressure on, and let's do some great things for Chattahoochee County down there. Some great folks down there that I've had an opportunity to meet, and looking forward to meet more people in the area as well. Listeners that listen to Sunday Conversation, and thank you guys for telling me that you listen. I appreciate that. We're going to move on with the conversation for today. You know, I was extremely disturbed when I started seeing the Facebook reports and ultimately the news media report that we had experienced another homicide here in Columbus, Georgia. This is the 25th homicide of the year. And I made a post about it. And, you know, and I said, we got to begin to do something as a community. We got to do some things differently. We are in the season of change, whether we want it or not. The conditions and the environment is going to demand that we do so. And we got to be willing to change on any level that's required to see if we can get some different results. Because, you know, we all know the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, whether that's giving money to the same organization or going to the same meetings or voting for the same people, whatever it may be. You, if you want results, you got to go out there and get it. And so the 25th homicide of the year, and I was just, it moved me in a particular way. It saddened me. I knew that was another mother that had lost a child, another father that had lost a son, you know, possibly a sibling that will now not know what it, or that will not know what it's like to grow up with their sister, their brother, you know, and it's just... It's unfathomable at this point, the things that we that we're having to endure and experience, and it got to be a way we can do something about it. So I just wanted two guys that I know that are very engaged with the community and on the ground. They're working with the nonprofits. They're working within the religious circles. They're trying to make things happen. You know, these are the type of fellas I try to keep uplifted. Because oftentimes, you know, people don't give motivation or a little support to the folks out there really working hard and doing the work. But we have to. We have to keep each other motivated. We have to keep each other uplifted. And so I'm happy to have with me today a good friend of mine who's been here before, but his work is so valuable. I'm glad to have him again. That's Brother Jarvis Hamilton. And we also have with us today Dr. Walter Taylor from down at is it Life Center? Life Center off of South Lumpkin. It's the pastor down there. Grew up in South Columbus. Went to Eddy Middle School. And what high school you went to?
The great Carver High
School. Carver High School. You know, he's a son of Columbus, a son of this community. And so, you know, I'm proud of the brother for stepping out there and being willing to make a difference in his own community. So thank you so much for that. So, you know, y'all, let's go ahead and jump right in. The 25th homicide of the year. Jarvis, how did you feel? What was going through your mind when I'm sure you probably saw it on Facebook like I did, but what was going through your mind when that rolled out?
Man, when the year started, I remember telling some of my friends, I was like, this year going to be different. We're not even going to get to 20 this year. And here we are at 25. It's amazing. And it feels like more, right? Because it seems like it's on the news every day. So I mean, we in a sad times in Columbus, Georgia. I ain't from Columbus, Georgia. I'm from Greenville, Alabama. But when I came to Columbus, Georgia, I loved the quietness and peacefulness in this city. So it's a different time in this city, and it's in desperate need of us men like Brother Taylor and you too, Teddy Reese.
Well, John, and a follow-up question for you. You say it's a sad time, and I know you're out there quite a bit. I know you're working with a lot of different entities. You're with Overflow Ministries, Gerald and Tasha Riley and the other great folks that are doing work in that area. What are you hearing from the general community? Are people tired of this? Or, you know, are they beginning to tolerate it? Because one thing we don't want to create is a sense of complacency when it comes to these type conditions in the community. So what are you hearing out there in regards to this?
I think it is a lot of complacency. I mean, everybody who I talk to say, well, I just don't watch the news because every time I turn to the news, that's all on the news. So people done got used to it to the point where we just avoiding the actual facts. And that's the sad part. Then you talk to the people who throw out the organizations, who talk about we got a lot of organizations and we got a lot of this happening. We got a lot of black-owned businesses and it's a lot of young black males without jobs. And then they start pointing at the churches and the teachers in schools and the rest of the stuff like that. But it's about half and half when you talk about complacency and people who still trying to be active.
Wow. Now, I know, Dr. Taylor, you know, I think the last time my wife and I were down with you and your wife, Ms. Taylor, First Lady Taylor, down near your church, you were having a community-based event. You had the jump house out there for the kids. You were feeding the community for free. You were giving out hundreds of school supplies to folks on the south side of Columbus, you know, people that desperately need the support and someone to be of an uplifting spirit in the community. First of all, congratulations on that successful event.
Thank you so
much. And you also recently had an appreciation event for our law enforcement entities. You had every branch of law enforcement out there on South Lumpkin Road, from our sheriff to our police department to our marshal department. And I think that's critical, because we do have a lot to do in repairing the relationship between law enforcement and our community. And that's a start. We can't repair that relationship and make it better if we're not pulling them into our community to become acquainted, and for our children and our young folks to be comfortable around them. What was the vision behind that event? And we'll come back to the other question.
Ultimately, the vision behind the appreciation for law enforcement was to, one, show them that their work does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, we tell people we appreciate them, but we never show them that we appreciate them. Mm-hmm. I believe that love is not what it says, but rather what it does. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes you have police officers, especially in the Columbus area, they're working 12-hour shifts. To protect our community.
Right.
They're understaffed,
right.
and they're overworked.
Right.
And so I believe that it was imperative that we take time to show them
and
that
underpaid.
Underpaid. Yes. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, but I think it was imperative that we took time to show them that we appreciate them and that we see them. Yes, there are bad officers, but the whole force isn't bad.
Right.
And so I thought that
we should... overwhelming majority of the force isn't bad. Let's be clear on that. There's only a few bad apples.
A few bad apples. And I believe that if we begin to spotlight and support the good officers and show them that we appreciate them, they can begin to police their own to get the bad apples out of their group.
Yes.
Rather than us having to police them.
Yes.
And so it was a great opportunity to bring some cohesion between the three entities, because that's another conversation. We know that there's division even within our law enforcement, but it was a great opportunity for three entities to come together in one setting to say, hey, listen, we appreciate you. And then it was an opportunity for South Columbus to see the police force come in at a time when there wasn't a crisis, when there wasn't anything wrong.
Not zooming down the streets with the blue lights on.
Exactly.
Pulling up slow.
Exactly.
Barking, getting out.
Exactly. So it was a great opportunity for citizens of the South Columbus community to come and sit down and eat with the police officers and see that they're human just like us. They're citizens of this community just like us. Though they work the 12-hour shift, when they get off work, they become a citizen just like us in this community.
Wow. Wow. So amazing. I'm extremely appreciative that you did that. And I have a lot of friends that work with the police department, and I'm so proud of them.
Yeah.
And what they do, and their fight for justice, their fight for fairness, their fight for equality. You know, and their fight for things that we don't talk about anymore, but we know some of that still exists. We want to think we left stuff like racism back in the 70s and 60s, but we didn't.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Right.
We're still experiencing that, especially on a national level. You know, when you have a man like that in the White House, it makes it easy for everybody else to just come out and say what they want to say.
Yeah.
But that's another show. We'll get deep into that at another time. But let's talk about the back to school event that you had, man. And to see the parents coming up to you, community, everyday community people. You know, folks that you won't hear the name on TV. You won't see them in an elected office. You just everyday folks who just want to raise their family, enjoy their peacefulness and their quietness, want to enjoy their community in peace, don't want to be ducking in their own house when they hear gunshots and things of that nature. Just regular folks coming up to you, hugging you, thanking you for your efforts and what you're doing for South Columbus, what you're doing for South Lumpkin, what you're doing for the Benning Hills area, what you're doing for North Lumpkin, and all the major work that you're doing in the area. What, just share that day, because it was just so special for me. I don't know if you can put it in words. I'm struggling to do it, but just share that day.
I think it's challenging to articulate really the true essence of what happened.
Uh-huh.
We were able to give away over 300 book bags and back to school bags for the children of the community.
Wow.
We fed over 500 people.
Wow.
At the Life Center, and just to really see people from various neighborhoods, like you were saying, not just Oakland Park, but you had people from Benning Hills, you had people mm-hmm. from North Lumpkin, you had people on the east side coming right. to the south side. Right. And then I believe that as a community, as a city, we need more opportunities where people can come together and not have to worry about violence breaking out, uh-huh. not have to worry about, you know, is something crazy going to happen, but being able to allow their children to be children and be able to sit down and break bread one with the other. And so it was absolutely amazing. And we, the Life Center, the staff of the Life Center, we wanted nothing more than to show the community that we're there.
Right.
That's all we wanted, right. is to show them that, listen, there is someone in this city that has your back, that has your best interest at heart, and wants the best for you. That's why we do what we do.
Right. And part of that includes, like, the computer lab over there that you've established. You know, I walked through that lab, and I was like, wow. Like, this is so awesome to provide those services. And that may become extremely critical, because I recently saw a news article where the South Lumpkin Library, South Columbus Library, is looking to do some renovations, which may cause it to be closed for a substantial period.
Yeah, we're talking about a year.
A year. And you're prepared, and you have offered your facility to at least stand in the gap from the perspective of making sure that our children and our folks in the community have access to technology.
Yes, I believe that the Life Center is, God placed us there to be segue for whatever is needed within that community. We are less than 1,000 yards from the South Columbus Library. And so right now my office is reaching out to the director of South Columbus Library, telling them, hey, listen, not only do we have a computer lab, we're willing to create extra space. If you want us to house books so kids can still come in and check out books, if you want to bring a volunteer down to work in our Life Center for the books, that's fine. Our computer lab is completely free. We have 8 units, workstations available for the community to come in and use. And right now, because I've learned that the South Columbus Library is going to be down for about a year, I'm petitioning to try to get some additional computer workstations put in place so that the children and the citizens of the community don't have to suffer for a whole year without having access. Because when you look at the dynamics, when you look at the demographics of South Columbus, mm-hmm. not every home has access to the internet, and not every home has access to a computer.
And you can't do everything from a smartphone.
And you can't. And when you look at schools today, most schools are moving to a technological basis anyway. So not giving that child the ability to complete their homework, to do what's needed, for that mother not to be able to get online and finish her GED program or finish her college course program, mm-hmm. we're robbing the citizens. Absolutely. So the Life Center is there. We're open Monday through Friday. It's, again, absolutely free for the people to come in and use the computer lab. No charge.
That's amazing. You know, when I first moved here to Columbus, I came with an organization called George Appleseed Center for Law and Justice, and a lot of people know the great work that we were able to do here in the city. You know, helping the school district secure a $2.5 million grant for children with disability and helping on behavior issues, helping us reduce the number of black males suspended and keeping our children in class. Out of school suspension don't benefit nobody. Now, there are some instances where children need to go home, but we were seeing, you know, uncomfortable numbers with that. I'll put it that way. And so we wanted to reverse those trends, and we were successful at doing a lot of that. And it was back then I was talking about the concept of private public partnerships. And I've heard a lot of that a lot more here recently from people at our chamber and other places now. But that's exactly what you just described, an entity coming in to help from a public perspective, creating that partnership. And I just can't fathom why our system would not take advantage of that opportunity. You know, private public partnerships don't just work with the folks who you want it to work with. It needs to be able to work with everybody.
Right.
Especially if you're talking about continuing to provide a useful benefit to the community.
Right.
We should be willing to do that. So I'm looking forward to a favorable response.
I am too.
From that system and working with the Life Center to make sure that the South Columbus Library location at least has a temporary home, a place where our children, like you said, a mother with a GED, working on a GED, or working on nighttime classes or online classes, or trying to do college courses, working between two jobs to better her life, will have that opportunity to do so. So I do want to hear from you, though, Dr. Taylor, about the homicide rate here. We do need to take a quick break. I tell you, when you're having a good conversation, time flies. But I got to get a second in here for our sponsors. This is Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese, and we'll be right back.
Tri-City Barbers, we need you. The Confess Project presents Igniting Mental Health Advocacy Through Barbershops, Sunday, September 22nd from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Columbus Public Library. Suicide is the third leading cause of death in black males in the U.S. between the ages of 18 and 24. Barbers are in a unique position to help and can advocate seeking help if they are aware of the signs of mental or emotional distress. Come on, learn how to recognize these signs. Hosted by yours truly, K92.7's own G Smooth, and presented by the Confess Project, Sunday, September 22nd from 1 to 5:30 p.m. at the Columbus Public Library, 3000 Macon Road.
Back to Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I am here again with my brother, my man, one of the hardest working men here in Columbus, Georgia, brother Jarvis Hamilton. I also have with me, I got to say, one of the sharpest brothers. Every time I see him, this brother's suit, I mean, everything is just always in place. Dr. Walter Taylor, who runs the Life Center, pastor of the Life Center, off of South Lumpkin Road. And you heard earlier part of the show, we talked about some of the great things they're doing over there and how they've been able to and are still serving the community of South Columbus, some potential exciting proposals for the community moving forward. Dr. Taylor, I do want to talk with you just a little bit about the homicide rate. We did recently experience our 25th homicide here in Columbus, Georgia. And it just breaks my heart because I think the more we hear about death, the more desensitized, you know, we become to it, and we no longer feel it. You know, I was always taught in church that death should have a sting to it. Mm-hmm. Regardless of who you are, you know, yeah. If even if you're watching TV and you hear that on a news, national news, you know, X number of people shot up at a Walmart, you just feel sorry for those people and those families.
Right.
You know, how much of this from a religious perspective can we endure? And what's your thoughts on the homicide rate?
I think the operative word that you just used was we have become desensitized. So much so, as Jarvis was saying earlier, that people say, I no longer watch the news. Well, if you no longer watch the news, how do you know what's happening in your community?
Right.
How can you address what's happening in your community? I grew up in an era that everybody on my street was my mother and my father.
Yes.
And so everybody knew what was happening on my street. Well, we don't live in that day and era anymore where people don't commune one with the other like that. And so if you're not watching the news, staying abreast with what's happening, then you won't be able to address what's happening. And on top of that, when we look at the death rate, it's not just the 25th homicide. Truthfully, we have to double, if not triple that, because when a murder takes place, when a homicide has happened, there are two people that die. There's the victim, and there's the perpetrator.
Right.
The perpetrator dies to the life that they know. And so now we have two families who are suffering from the sting of death. One is having to carry theirs out by burying their child in a grave. The other one is having to carry theirs out by seeing their child go down the road to spend time incarcerated. So two families are suffering. And one of the things that we're not doing is we're showing up for the funeral. We're showing up for the repast. And then we're going back home. Mm-hmm. We are not bringing these families back together so that they can become more of a vocal voice in this community to say, listen, this has to stop. My son is in jail now because he perpetrated a crime that took away this family's son. We as a community have to bridge this gap to bring all of these families together. And I believe that a great rally would be awesome for the community to see what it means for people to come together and say, listen, we got to stop killing each other. You know, when crime is perpetrated from a white perspective to a black perspective, then we say Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. But when it's black on black crimes, we say nothing. I got a problem with that. I got a problem with that because lives are being lost at the hands of senseless violence, all because a lot of it is stemming from young men who are trying to be accepted. So they are doing things to get the attention and get the acceptance of organization, of gangs, and other types of people in this city. For what reason? Because they are not getting the attention and the acceptance of those who they really want it from.
You know, when I made that post, I was reading my second comment on Facebook, and it literally brought me to tears. And it was a post by a young lady, a good friend of mine. Her name is Stacy Darasaw. And she said, "We can do better collectively as a community." Retired Sergeant Henderson T. Darasaw was more than Columbus' second 2019 murder. He was my own son.
Wow. Wow.
Did you feel that?
Yeah.
Did you feel it? I'm talking to my listeners now. Did y'all feel that? We look at it as a number. We look at it as 25. But these are 25 families that have been permanently shifted. They have been hurt. They've been destroyed. Countless nights of tears. Countless days of wondering, how do I move on? Lord, what will my next day look like? Can I find the energy? Can I find the passion? Can I find the will to make it to the next day? Jarvis, this is real.
Mm-hmm.
This is real. These are mothers. These are grandmothers. This is real, Jarvis. We're not talking about a TV character. We're not talking about a power. We're not talking about one of these HBO special, you know, real lives. Jarvis, what do we say to a Stacy Darasaw? What do we say to her? As black men who should be getting our community together, we shouldn't be waiting on elected officials. We should be doing this out. What do we say?
And yeah, I remember when her son got murdered, and I knew of him also. And what happens, just like the doctor was saying, then the kids lose their dads. Two sets of kids lose their dad. And then those kids grow up to that same cycle without a dad. And then we talking about this 15 years from now, 20 years from now with those kids. So the violence doesn't stop. We do, over at Overflow Outreach, we do life skills at Wesley Heights and Rothschild. And so we focus on taking the youngsters, and we do life skill class for girls, life skills for boys, and we work on things outside of the school that could happen when a police comes, or when you run into somebody from another gang, because that's the popular thing now. How do you handle that? How do you handle adversity? Who do you talk to? So, and we focusing on that more, because a lot of time with these teenagers, they're going to do the cool thing. So if they get embarrassed, they grab a gun, and everybody points at the guns. We got guns here. We got guns here. Too many guns. Guns kill people, but, I mean, guns don't pull triggers. It's people who don't have emotional intelligence, and that's the teenagers or the 20-something-year-olds. And they get mad, or they want to show off. And they got a gun in their pocket, so they use it. So we working on teaching them how to handle their emotions, teaching them how to do something else instead of grabbing that gun.
We got to get to a point in our community, too, where we can have those tough conversations, Jarvis, without people being easily offended, mm-hmm. or without folks thinking we shouldn't be talking about this. Yes, we should. We should be talking about the fact that we have the highest unemployment than any other region in the state. We should be talking about the fact that we're wondering why the murder rate is so high, but we keep closing the recreational centers and the parks and the pools and everything else that our children used to have to work with and play with over the summer. We should be talking about the fact that we don't have a black man on the school board. We should be talking about these things, and we shouldn't talk about them secretly. We should talk about them out openly. We should be saying, what is it that we need in the black community? Because there's a stark difference between the way some of the communities look on the north side of town and the way some of the communities look on the south side of town. Call it radical if you want to. I just call it the truth.
All right.
Open your eyes. Look and see. Am I crazy, Jarvis?
Nah, you're not crazy. And while we noticing the difference in that, even the school board stuff and all that, we need to get together and find people that look like us that we can put in some of those positions. Because I feel like if we back those people, then we can get them in those spots. And we can start getting some things in the areas where we got most of the people who look just like us. Yeah.
Absolutely. Dr. Taylor, I'm going to allow you one last comment, too, because we're about to close out here and tell you this show, it comes around real fast when we have a good conversation. But go ahead, sir.
I think that it's a great opportunity for us as people to begin to do what is needed. As Jarvis just said, we got to come together. 2020 is going to be a pivotal year. It is going to be a year that if we as a black community would get out and cast our vote, we can change the dynamics, not just at the White House, but we can change the dynamics on the local level, because what's being affected and what needs to be changed is right here at the local level. This is a history-making year if we'll get out and vote.
This is where it starts.
This is where it starts.
Get out and vote, and let's not forget about that census. And I'm going to have census. A conversation about that later on. I'm looking forward to inviting the census representatives on so that we can talk about the importance of it. It's nothing to be afraid of, but we will discuss that. Before I close out, I do want to, on behalf of my wife and myself, I want to thank everybody that checked on us this past week. Those of you that probably saw my Facebook post from earlier this past weekend, my wife and I happened to be at Lenox Mall this past Saturday, and it was just this huge event oh my God, I'll never forget it. It scared me to death to see hundreds of people just running in masses, you know, folks being ran over and folks being knocked down because of the crowds and trampled and me having to snatch my wife back into the store that we just come from, only to be rushed downstairs as the store doors were locked because there were people shooting in the mall or outside the mall, wherever they were shooting. I personally heard the gunshots. I heard them myself as me and this guy who serves our country as a military officer. We were standing there guarding the door of the loading dock, ready and willing to do whatever we have to do. I've been fortunate to have training for active shooter drills here in Columbus that's been provided by the Marshal's Office. Thank you, Greg Countryman, for that. And one thing they teach you is when you're in a mass shooting type situation, a mass hysteria type situation, run, hide, and then if it comes down to it, fight. Be prepared to fight. And so I want to thank everyone who reached out to us. I want to thank everyone who text, call, sent a Facebook message checking on us. My wife and I and Lady Catherine, we're certainly loved here in this city. We feel it. We know it. We don't take it for granted. We love everybody else, too. We just want to ask you continue to support us, continue to pray with us, and be with us. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I look forward to talking to you again next Sunday. Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and its radio programs are not to be considered necessarily the beliefs of this radio station or Davis Broadcast. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.